Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Those words come from our Old Testament reading for tonight, from Isaiah chapter 9. Who is the us in to us a child is born, to us a son is given? If you looked under the Christmas tree and you saw a present with a label that said, to, colon, and then us, you would wonder, who's us? Is it a husband and wife that gave that gift for each other, for their immediate family, for everyone who's gathering there? Who's the us? And especially when we hear the words, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. You could imagine those words being spoken by a mother and a father when a baby is born to them. To us a child is born. Yes, we've had a baby. To us a son is given. It's a boy. It's for us. It's ours. Certainly you could imagine them rejoicing at that and saying, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And certainly it was cause for joy when the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus. And she and Joseph, his adopted father, could rejoice that to them a child was born. To them a son was given. But with this child, things are different. This child wasn't just for Mary and for the adopted father, Joseph. This child was for many more, as is seen from the story itself in Luke chapter 2. The angels go out to some shepherds in the fields who probably don't even know that there's a young couple who just had a baby there in Bethlehem. And the angels appear to them and says, to you, this day is born. Now, perhaps every one of those shepherds had a wife who was expecting, but it's unlikely. And so when they heard that announcement and hear those first words, that to you is born, they wonder, well, I'm not expecting a child. How can I be expecting to have a child born to me? I mean, just imagine when any of you who've had children and you were at the hospital and you had a baby and you rejoice and you're glad that the baby is finally born. Imagine that an angel appears to the nursing staff and the janitorial staff and to the doctors and says, to you a child is born. Well, they'd all think that was pretty odd. Because after all, babies are born there all the time. This isn't anything new, it isn't anything special, and the baby isn't for them. The baby is for the mother and the father, and they rejoice with them and rejoice with you when you, if you've had children, had a child. But it's not theirs. It's not for them. With this baby, though, the baby lying in the manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. With this baby, it's different. When it says, to us a child is born, that us includes not only Mary and Joseph, but the shepherds, the wise men who will come, King Herod. It also means not only the people in the first century, but the people in the 21st century. The doctors and the nurses and the janitorial staff and the farmers and the government officials. The people of high position and of low position. Those who are rich and those who are poor. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. And to everyone here in this sanctuary tonight, to us, this child is born. He is for every single person. And why is that? Why is this child unique and different? Well, we have to understand who he is and what he came to do. First, that he is not just an ordinary baby. He is fully man, but he is also fully and totally God. God and man at the same time. This is the mystery of the incarnation. That God took on human flesh and remained fully God, but yet is also fully man. And this child, as God and man, came to do something very important for us. And in this we understand why he did this and why he is for each and every person in this room. Because as a man, living in our shoes, he lived the life that we should have lived in our place. This is what we call his active obedience. That he actively fulfilled the law of God that we did not fulfill. Where Adam and Eve gave in to the temptations of Satan, Jesus did not give in to Satan's temptations. Where we fall prey to Satan's temptations, Jesus did not. Where we sin in thought, word, and deed, Jesus did not. In his thoughts, in what he said, in what he did, he perfectly fulfilled the law of God by living in perfect faith toward God and perfect love toward everyone on the earth. But not only did Jesus perfectly fulfill God's law in our place, he also had to pay our debt. Because although he could keep the perfect record for us so that when we stand before God on the day of judgment, God will see Christ's perfect record instead of our imperfect record, but we still have accrued a debt with God that has to be paid for all our sins. And he paid that debt by dying on the cross. He was punished by the Father. He suffered the wrath of God instead of us. This is called his passive obedience, where he allowed himself to be mocked and ridiculed and whipped and beaten, to have the nails pounded into his hands, and to be forsaken by the Father on the cross and there to suffer hell. And in that way, he paid the debt that we could not pay to God for our sins. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. Jesus came for us to live as a man in our place, and then as a mortal man to die for us in our place. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child was born not just to Mary or to be adopted by Joseph. This child, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, true God and true man, was born for us, for every person in this room, for every person on the planet. There was no one for whom Jesus was not born. He was born for you and for every person. And that us, then, in to us a child is born, to us a son is given, includes all of us. And we receive with gladness the body and blood of that little baby in the manger that was shed for us on the cross for our salvation, because he is for us. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.